This week's Walking Dead recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, who have some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can help clean the interior of your car. You could remove the excess weight from your car or your horse even to improve its gas mileage. And you can also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Those are weird tips. Here's one that might not be so weird and you might not know about. True Car can help you get a great deal on a used car too. What? Yes, that's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. With the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy, and you'll be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a TrueCar certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 5 is over, but we're just getting started on the Walking Dead Post Show, a recap here on Post Show Recaps. And now, here are the two people who are ready to talk about What's Your Wound? I'm Rob Sisson, here with Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you?
Well, Rob, I've just been standing by patiently waiting while everything goes to hell all around me, ready to get back up on the patient horse.
This horse was so easily spooked that it threw Rick Grimes, who has ridden a horse before, right off onto the rebar. Yet every single time the zombie herd approaches, is it a herd or a horde?
I think it's a herd. They call it herd on the show.
Okay. Either way, the zombie herd never walks away. The horse.
He was like, look, I can do good, Rick. I'm sorry I got you impaled on the rebar. I'm going to hang out now. I'm going to be a good horse. Please don't feed me to the zombie herd.
Okay. Jess, so much to talk about here tonight because what a swerve this all was, because that for, 50, 55 minutes that, everything was sort of going according to plan. Rick Grimes, touching tribute. We see some surprising faces. We got to see Shane. We saw Herschel. We got to see
Sasha.
Yeah, I was going to say Michael. We got to see Sasha. No, Carl. That was weird. No, Carl. That being said, so everything sort of, going according to what we thought. Rick leading the zombie herd / horde to the bridge. And then even though the bridge was, his big project, his big infrastructure project, he blew it up with dynamite. Okay. And, that was that. But I did think it was odd that we got, Jadis here in this episode. Maggie and Negan is one thing, but I'm like, why are we even seeing Jadis tonight? Shouldn't this just be an all Rick Grimes episode? And Jadis is off doing something on the, I've got the A here. It's not a trick. Who cares? Who cares with Jadis? And then, Jess, the most Walking Dead thing that's ever happened. There was a dumpster hiding in plain sight, a garbage copter of sorts, a dumpster copper or copter. The dumpster copter was flying around waiting for it to land and pull Rick under the dumpster. And Rick Grimes is not dead.
You knew he wouldn't be dead.
No, I didn't know that. Who knew that? It's Andrew Lincoln's final episode. This is it. He's leaving the show. Okay, that's it. 9 seasons, new beginning. And I was here for it. I was ready to go. Nothing against Rick Grimes. Nothing against Andrew Lincoln. But it was finally, something is going to happen. Here we are. We're actually going to do something, and we're going to make a big change and shake things up on The Walking Dead, only to find out, Jess, and please stop me if I'm just not even letting you get a word in yet, but. And then we'll talk about the flash forward, which I think is very interesting. But then I turned on this Talking Dead, and Chris Hardwick is there talking with Scott Gimple. And what does Scott Gimple have to say about this? Chris Hardwick says, "What's going on? Oh, where's Rick Grimes? What's happening?" And he even said, "Was this all a trick? Oh, what's new?" And Scott Gimple says, "No. We have some exciting news. This was the last episode of The Walking Dead for Rick Grimes, but we're very excited to announce we are going to start making Walking Dead movies with Rick Grimes. Who wanted this?" He said, "We're going to tell stories about characters that are dead, characters that are alive, stories from the future. We're going to tell stories in all different ways. You know everything that you hate about Star Wars now? We're going to do that for The Walking Dead."
Well, you know, Rob, when I picked up the call to do this podcast with you tonight, and you came in to the call at an 11... I thought, okay, this is going to be an easy night for me because I'm just going to wind Rob up and let him go.
Who wants Walking Dead movies with Rick Grimes by himself?
Rick Grimes, is this like a Castaway scenario? Is it just going to be like Rick Grimes talking to a volleyball?
Rick and Jadis on the road? This is a movie? What's the movie?
They're going to explain what is a B and what is an A, I guess. Because I was thinking before.
I've got a different letter for this.
I was thinking before we got on here, I didn't watch any of Talking Dead because I came straight here because I had to hear what your reaction was to all of this. And boy, I kind of wish I had been able to react to this in real time as well, but I'm hearing it just now and it sounds insane. It sounds bonkers. I thought it was better that maybe we're just going to let the garbage copter go off into the sunset and we're never going to find out. Now it turns out we're going to find out.
We're going to have Rick Grimes solo adventures in movies. And I don't know if they're going to be AMC TV movies or these are going to be movies in the theater.
They're going to be, well, I think it depends. Like if there's some like B plot character in these movies that turns out to be a bankable star, then we're going to see him in the theaters. And otherwise you're going to have to watch him on AMC.
Yeah. Let me give you some quotes from, this is from Dalton Ross. Cause I'm paraphrasing what was said on the Talking Dead and everybody should go watch those first 5 minutes to get into what they're talking about. So we see that Dalton Ross is talking here with Scott Gimple about everything that's going on with this. And so he asks Scott Gimple. So let's talk about these Rick Grimes movies that you're going to be doing. What can you tell me? He says, "It's really important to know that we are going to be continuing to tell the story of Rick Grimes in these AMC Studios original films. We don't want this to be like, oh, well, he'll be back on the show any moment. Now, no, we are telling the story in another medium, and it's going to be these AMC Studios original films. They're going to be on AMC, most probably. They're centered around Rick Grimes. They're going to tell the story of what happens after the helicopter flight, and these are going to be big, epic installments. Each of these are quality films. That's what's been happening in the industry. We've seen Netflix make these basically studio films for people to watch in their homes, and we're going to be doing that sort of thing here."
Well, Rob, it's no recording a 30-hour podcast and releasing it as an audiobook, that is for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God. Dalton Ross, who I beat in fantasy football this week in the Rotten Coconuts League, said, "Does this mean Jadis is moving over to the movie franchise?" Scott Gimple says, "Well, she's on the helicopter, so that would be a yes." Well, thank God for that. Okay. Thank God for that. But that being said, so it's not, the night's not a total loss, Jess.
Well, is this what Scott Gimple has been up to since leaving his post as showrunner of The Walking Dead? Because we were talking about like how much the show has improved without him. And it's like, Oh no, Scott Gimple is up to something much more sinister and nefarious behind the scenes. He's got this bigger project. He's moved on to something even bigger that we're not going to be able to ignore. And now we have to sit through like a special Gimple production.
Let me, Scott Gimple probably does not listen to this podcast. Let me give a message to Scott Gimple.
Who listens to this podcast, Rob.
Okay. All right. I guess so. Let me talk to Scott Gimple, the powers that be in AMC, and anyone else who's listening. The show is hemorrhaging viewers. We are losing people at a record pace. We need all hands on deck on the TV show. You are spreading yourself too thin that we cannot even support the two Walking Dead franchises that we have right now. There's no need for a movie.
Rob, don't bring Gimple back to The Walking Dead. I'm starting to like the show again, and it's him not being there that is the magic ingredient. Don't bring this on me.
Yeah. This is Dalton Ross asks, well, how many of these movies are we talking about? He said, well, we're talking about a trilogy for this Rick Grimes story. Not even a movie, a trilogy. It doesn't necessarily mean that Rick Grimes is the only stories we're ever going to tell. They're also probably not going to be the only movies that we tell. There's the Rick Grimes story, of course. That's the biggest thing we're doing right off the bat. But we're going to be doing a number of different Walking Dead things over the next few years. A universe of stuff. We're not going to release it all at once. We're going to be putting things out over the years for maximum effect. We don't want to overwhelm folks with it. But we're going to see all sorts of different Walking Dead projects in all sorts of different ways, with the old standbys, with new voices, which is really important to me. And they're all going to be very different and distinct from the shows. We have this one show, amazing show that is at the beginning of its civilization. And then we have these folks that are trying to make up with the things that they did. And we're going to be having different entertainments, different narratives within The Walking Dead, different tone, different characters. We're going to see old characters. Review some content with old favorites. We get to revisit them and see stories of their past that they might not have shared before. I mean, Scott Gimple is sounding like a crazy person here, Jess.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It sounds a lot like Star Wars, and it sounds to me like a lot of the Star Wars stuff is potentially getting the brakes put
on
it.
A bit thin.
Yeah, and yeah. People are getting bored with it. So, you know, if this stuff is good, we'll get a lot of it. And if this stuff is bad, we won't get a lot of it. And I'm thinking there are some possibilities here that maybe won't be so bad. You know, I'm not excited to find out the origin story of the garbage copter. I'm less excited than you are, believe me. But what if we got a movie that is everything that happened on Fear the Walking Dead between the dam and the diamond? What if we get the lost Fear the Walking Dead?
That would be good. Look, I thought that the show handled the Rick Grimes death. If this would have just been a straight Rick Grimes death episode, it would have been fine. I would have been like, okay, this was nice. And now, okay, I'm excited. Let's see what they're going to do next week. And I am excited to see what they're going to do next week with the time jump. But this show, they can never just close, except Carl. Carl was like the one thing, he's dead and gone. Forget that guy. That guy, you know, did not ever exist. Forget Carl. But I mean, for Rick, not only does he have to not be dead, but now we're gonna now go into this whole other Walking Dead cinematic universe and everything that's gonna be going on there. And I don't know. Maybe it'll be cool to see the Walking. You know, what would a Walking Dead 90-minute movie look like with an insane budget? Okay, yeah. Sure, I'm curious, but I just think that we are putting the cart ahead of the horse at this point with working on the movie franchise.
Fair enough, Rob, but think outside the box. Think about what are the stories that you would like to see?
I mean,
do you have a wish list?
But isn't the show about this group that I mean that the idea of the walkers is after, you know, 150 episodes of this show, it doesn't capture my imagination. Like, ooh, what would it be like in a world filled with zombies? I know, I've watched 9 seasons of The Walking Dead. There's nothing that, I mean, what could they come up with of like, oh, well, what if Rick Grimes ends up in Vegas? What would that look like? I guess so. But is there enough there to like, maybe if this was like a feature film and you get The Rock in there and get to, you know, some big stars also, you know, maybe that's something, but that's not even what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about do you remember they did this with 24 one time and it wasn't that great. Do you remember this?
I didn't ever watch it, so I guess I'm not the person to be talking to about.
I don't know. I mean, I've only talked to you. I haven't really seen the social media reaction, so I don't know if I'm just way out on a limb with this.
No, I like that you've got such a hot take here, Rob. I feel this feels really fresh and immediate, and I like that it's not colored by anybody else's reaction.
Yeah, I have
so
no idea.
Pure. It's so great.
I have no idea. I mean, maybe the reaction to the people listening to this podcast is like, no, I'm so excited that Andrew Lincoln is not dead. And I mean, Yvette Nicole Brown was like jumping on the couch that, yay, where did this movie is now?
Yvette Nicole Brown, for all her obsessions and like binder skipping and what have you, she's like, whatever the Walking Dead version of a Survivor casual is.
Yeah, she's the ultimate super fan. So I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about this, Jess? Are you excited that A, Rick is still alive, B, that we will be exploring his stories and many, many, many more in movie form?
Okay, 16 minutes into the podcast, I get to have an opinion about something. Are you sure?
I didn't mean it like that. You told me to keep going. I could stop me at any time.
I was enjoying it, but I want to make sure that you've really and truly exhausted your well of emotion here before I give you my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Go. I know I'm going to get people are going to be killing me on Twitter on Monday.
Nobody's
That's fine.
Kill you on Twitter.
That's fine. Look,
people aren't going to be on your side on
would,
this. People.
Would you rather we had a boring podcast?
This podcast is far from boring, and I am having an effing blast, Rob. This is great. This is fantastic. Okay. I have really treasured this time with you.
Thank you. And likewise.
Yes, of course. I think I came in here really not as burning up about everything as you are. I mean, I had not heard the news. I'm hearing the news from you for the first time. So maybe my reaction is a little bit cooler because I didn't hear it come out of Scott Gimple's mouth. Maybe that would have made a difference. But I think potentially there might be something good in here. It depends on who has their hands in it and what they bring to the table and what kind of story they decide to tell. A lot of it's going to be hot crap. Mm-hmm. And I'm not super excited to see the Rick Grimes garbage copter saga. TBH. I feel like we've closed the book on that. Let him fly off into the sunset, and whatever we imagine for him is going to be better than whatever we end up getting. So I'm with you on that. I don't think I need to see 3 movies about that, but I could see a few movies about other gaps that we've never gotten. I mean, there's been some really great material in the comics world that comes in to fill in some of these gaps with people's backstories and kind of like backpedaling and telling us about Negan's whole thing, for example, which he's filled in a lot of on the show. But there was also a great novelization about the governor. And I think some of this stuff, depending on who they get and how they do it, it could be fun. And like, I don't take this show super seriously. And I think if it hits the right tone and I don't have anything better to watch, I might really enjoy it.
Okay, so hypothetically, the Morgan 2-hour cheesemaker origin story—that's a movie. Okay, so are we happy with that? Is this a good outcome, bad outcome?
I'd probably skip the Morgan cheesemaker one, but that wasn't a bad episode.
Jess, if they can't get you, who's watching this? That what? How is this working?
Well, Rob, I don't know. I will freely admit that I had to catch up on Fear the Walking Dead in a hurry when you needed me to come and podcast with you. So I'm not living, breathing Walking Dead all the time, which I know I'm going to get. If you want to talk about Twitter hate, like it's going to come on me now for admitting that. But yeah, I think it depends on I think it depends on the story being told. And I think they could tell some great stories. I think a lot of it's going to be terrible, but some of it could be good.
Yeah. Three full length Andrew Lincoln Walking Dead movies are coming.
Well, what if this means we don't have to have those stupid episodes in the middle of the season that halt all of the action we care about and take us to some other place with some other people we don't really know that well? What if we don't have to have those anymore?
Well, why? Because those characters would be they would be introduced in the movie. So instead of episodes that we don't care about, we'll have movies that we don't care about.
Right. It doesn't disrupt our flow. We can choose to watch the movie or not. Mm-hmm. And then that leaves a lot of action. Like, think of the momentum that we've had this season so far, where just stuff keeps happening. The plot moves forward. They talk about what happened in the past and how it informs what's going on now. What if that happened all the time? And what if we didn't have to pause the action to go off in the middle of the field and meet a bunch of new people all the time?
Just isn't this an unsatisfying end for Rick Grimes that he will never be reunited with Michonne and his family? Because presumably, unless those characters will also leave the show to be in the movie universe, like, I would imagine that Rick Grimes, once he's recuperated in the helicopter, is going to be like, I need to get back to my family. And then Jadis is like, no, you have to be in movie adventures with me now.
You know, maybe they'll explain that. Maybe there will be a reason behind that.
Yeah.
What if somebody needs him more?
Who?
I don't know. I'm not happy with the ending. I think this is
the
ultimate fake out
thing. Yeah. The whole it's so Walking Dead. But that Rick Grimes, that I thought that this was tonally perfect for this character of, I need to find my family. I need to get back to my family. And so, but if we're establishing that, unless this was a lie that he will never be on The Walking Dead again, then, or we will see Judith and Michonne somehow in this movie universe, that he needs to get back to this group that he's been a part of, that is his family, that he was willing to give his life for. And now he's going to go just be action hero in Walking Dead movies with Jadis.
Well, that is all valid, Rob. That makes a lot of sense. And think about it this way, though. I like watching it in a vacuum without this knowledge that there's going to be movies or that we're ever seeing Andrew Lincoln again. It does sort of, if you leave it there, if we don't even talk about the movies for a second, if you leave it there and you leave it with him going away on the garbage copter, it gives you a little hope. It gives you a little something to cling to. And I admit it, I was coming in here thinking, well, you know, Andrew Lincoln says it's going to be his last hurrah on the show, but what if he gets bored with whatever else he's doing? And to be honest, now that I know what he is doing, that sounds like he's going to get hella bored hella fast. What if
Helicopter.
He decides to come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. He could decide to come back. And
yes.
I think it's okay to leave the door open for someone that big and that important to the series. I think it's a cop-out, to be sure, but it's nice to think about that it might not be the last time we see him, and it might not be the last thing he has to give to the story.
Right. And I would even be okay with that. You know, it would not be like, I think it's much more weak sauce than if they would have just killed him off. But if they would have sent him off like a la a Steve Carell on The Office, where he didn't die, that he just left the show. And then in the finale, he came back in some way. And then we had some at some point down the road or 2 years later or something like that. You know, that would have been okay. But what came first, the chicken or the egg here, Jess, is my big question of, did they write Andrew Lincoln out of the show so that he could do movies? Did Andy want to leave the we're tight. Did Andy want to leave the show, and did AMC make him an offer that he couldn't refuse? Like, hey, you want to make movies? Okay. Why don't you make Walking Dead movies?
I mean, if we're being honest, I think the latter is much more likely. I think he was making noises about how he felt like he had exhausted this universe, and then they brought out, like, they backed an armored truck up to the studio lot and like pulled out a giant sack with a dollar sign on it and set it down in front of him and said, okay, you don't have to do the show anymore. How about you do some movies? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I think happened. And I don't know for sure. I think we'll have to wait. I'm sure he's going to do some press around this. I'm sure we'll get to hear from him on his motivation. And I'm sure whatever story he has will make some sense.
Mm-hmm. If, and just like, you know, as we're, you know, getting more calm here. So if the answer is that, you know, I can understand that. And then if Scott Gimple would say, okay, well, we are very excited. We're going to be working with Andy on three more movies. And, you know, God willing, if the movies are successful, maybe we can look at doing some other movies. But to come out and to say, no, oh, now we're going to tell a million other Walking Dead stories when, frankly, we're not necessarily acing it every week with the one Walking Dead story we're trying to tell a week. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, well, give it time. If if these movies right. are okay, we'll get some more stuff. If these movies are not okay, we probably right. won't get any more stuff.
Right. If the Andrew Lincoln movies are not a success, we will not continue to make more movies. And frankly, we probably will not continue to have a Walking Dead TV show at that point.
It's funny that whenever I tweet about this show while we're watching it, I pull up hashtag The Walking Dead, and it always suggests maybe you mean hashtag The Walking Dead final season. Hmm. Like, really? Is that getting hashtagged a lot?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah,
I don't think it is the final season. I think we got a ways to go yet.
Yeah, the ratings will be big tonight, and maybe the ratings will be big next week. So maybe they know what they're doing in terms of juicing it, but the ratings were like all-time lows earlier this season.
Yeah, I think they've rebounded a little bit, but not significantly. Not yeah. what we need to be at.
And it's a bit of a sugar rush because the ratings, I think, in 3 weeks, I think are probably going to be back down to what they were. I don't know necessarily if, you know, people tuned in to see this. Maybe there'll be some curiosity next week, but just I can't imagine, no matter what they do, that there is going to be a bunch of people that are going to get back on board now to see it. Like, and I could even see maybe like, I'll watch a 90-minute Walking Dead movie that I haven't watched the show in 4 years, and maybe the ratings might be good on something like that. But I can't imagine that, you know, the time jump 3 years later, whatever universe, is going to be the sort of end all be all, and then we'll be back up over 10 million people a week watching this show.
Well, Rob, is that why they're doing it? I think you just hit on something important here.
What, the Walking Dead TV movies?
Yeah, what are they doing these movies now because they want to get something out of the usual chronology?
Sure.
And that people that have abandoned the show might be like, huh, I wonder what this is.
Look,
I wonder if it's any good. Are they going to jump on that and maybe potentially be welcomed back into the fold? Is that what they're trying to do?
I don't think that, no. I don't know necessarily if it's going to bring people back to the weekly TV show. But from the perspective of marketing and business, it's much easier to promote the Andrew Lincoln, you know, 2-hour AMC TV movie than it is to promote the, you know, week in, week out of a 10-year-old TV show.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a single event.
It's a single event. You can get a lot of, you know, official sponsors presented by Acura or, you know, where people are going to be putting a lot of money into the show that you're not going to be getting that on the week to week. And maybe, you know, there is no Walking Dead TV show eventually. It only exists in sort of in movie. Who knows? I don't know if people even want to hear us talk about this anymore. Maybe people just want to hear about like recapping the TV show that we watched.
Oh, I'm wait, so. We watch
I'm in the weeds. I'm in the weeds on this, Jess. And I apologize. Listeners, if you're still listening, I apologize. Please don't at me on Twitter too much.
So there was an episode tonight, I guess.
There was an episode. And the episode, it was fine. It was simple. It was fine. You know, we talked about it. I mean, from the trailer, we got what it was. You know, Rick, fever dream, running around. You know, he's going to see different people. I think that the question for me was a little bit sort of like a, who's going to show up? Who will we see?
Yeah, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because it sure seemed like we got pretty far down the list in certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were a lot of people, especially the way that this was being foreshadowed and that we were building to this in the first four episodes, it really felt like the people that we wanted to see and the people we got, and no disrespect intended to any of the people that came back for this little bit. I'm not sure that in a perfect world, these were the people that were one, two, and three on the list.
Right. So we got to see Shane. That was pretty cool because we have not seen Shane, I don't believe, in any form since season two, unless I'm missing something.
No, you're right. And Shane was definitely, I think you had to have Shane for this whole thing to work.
So that was fine. No issue with Shane. John
Bernthal has moved on to a lot bigger and better things. So they were very lucky to get him.
And again, very cool to see Scott Wilson as Herschel, especially considering the fact that Scott Wilson, as we've talked about, has recently passed in real life. So to get him in there, I think that that was even more touching than it was when they shot it.
Yeah, that was really lovely.
That was nice.
I think it's more poignant knowing that the actor has passed on, but it's, you know, I think we wanted Glenn here. I think that's who I would have wanted.
And I'm saying that get Herschel out of there, because Herschel is sort of like a father figure to Rick. No problems whatsoever with Herschel. But yeah, we did have some gaping holes here. Glenn is very high up on the list that we could not have gotten Steven Yeun for this.
I mean, he's been busy.
Where is Steven Yeun?
He's working. But yeah, I felt like this particular beat is where we want to see Glenn, and no disrespect to Herschel intended. I thought this was a beautiful scene. It was well done, but I think the triumvirate we want here, we want Shane and we want Glenn and we definitely want Carl in this.
I mean, how do you not have Carl? I mean, is Chandler Riggs just the worst person in the world to work with? Is his dad such a menace? How do you not get Chandler Riggs? It blows my mind. I mean, I was going to complain that how do we not have Laurie also? I mean, that would have been nice. But Carl, how do we not have Carl?
Well, we don't have Carl because I'm pretty sure they didn't call Carl.
Mm-hmm,
Chandler Riggs didn't get the call on this.
So what you're saying is that Rick Grimes isn't the only one who burned some bridges.
Oh, snap.
How do we not have Carl? How do we not have even an echo of Carl or a flashback of, you know, we saw like Rick walking with like a little actor Carl at one point. Anybody else that could have even been in the conversation?
Abraham.
I mean, were Rick and Abraham really tight? What about Andrea?
Andrea's in the conversation, I think. It's hard to tell because Andrea and Rick were not super duper close either. She was just part of his original group. I think we'd have to go back and think about people from the original group.
If
we're thinking about people that we want to see here.
No.
And like T-Dog, maybe?
I don't know. But Sasha was so out of left field. If I could make a list of Rick Grimes's best 18 friends in the history of The Walking Dead, I don't know if Sasha's cracking the list.
I mean, we're lucky to get Sonequa Martin-Green because she's doing great.
Right. But it's almost like that she has left the show and done something with her Walking Dead stardom. And it's almost like, oh, like it's like the actor is, you know, a bigger get than the character is. With all due respect. Yes. I mean, but Rick and Shane, they were partners Rick killed him. I think that from a narrative point, I think that I had no issue, but I was like, really? Sasha? We must be getting 100 more people if Sasha is here.
Yeah, I agreed. I think that did feel very left field. What if we had a nemesis?
The governor?
What if the governor was here? That would have been kind of...
I mean, the governor came when Tyrese was dying, so I feel like that's not totally out of the question. Yeah.
Right.
What about Dale? I think Dale would have been more impactful than Sasha to Rick.
Yeah, Dale would be good. I don't know that the audience may have a hard time remembering who Dale was at this point. I'd rather have Bob than Sasha.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, I'm excited to see Sasha, but I don't know. To me, she hasn't even been gone that long.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably why they got her, because she's still kind of semi-fresh in your memory. She did kind of play a pivotal role in turning the tides for
Michael Burnham.
World.
What's going on? So cool.
All right. All right, man. I don't know. I think it was more like, hey, look who we can get. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the character of Scott makes a reappearance early in the episode. And the actor is the real life husband of Sonequa Martin Green.
Who is Scott?
He's the tall, bald African-American guy. Looks sort of like Common.
Yeah. And where did he show up?
He shows up, he walks in and like delivers a line and walks back out.
Okay. Am I supposed to know who he is, Jess?
I the only reason I do is because he's in the comics and he's one of those background characters kind of on the Heath level of, well, we never saw him die.
Yeah.
He's an original Alexandrian, so he's like one of he's one of that bunch. He's one of the Tobin bunch.
Yeah, the only Scott I'm worked up about is Scott Gimple right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand, Rob. And we're all angry at Scott Gimple.
Yeah.
But let's talk about a couple of these other points.
Yes.
I mean, we've covered the Rick Fever dream pretty.
Yes. Just well. keep me, I'm in my own fever dream right now. Please keep me on task.
All right. Because I think we need to talk about this Maggie Negan thing.
Okay, let's talk about this, because I had no issue with this being here in Rick Grimes' final episode. And I was kind of thinking like, oh, I wonder, is Maggie going to off Negan and then Rick and Negan are going to die in the same episode?
Yeah. And what if Negan dies and then the next dead person flashback Rick gets is Negan?
Rick, it's me. What? You're dead too? Yep.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
I would have loved to have seen that interaction, because I think the Rick and Negan contrast over time has been one of the more interesting elements of the Savior conflict. But I really loved that Maggie finally has a reason to want to kill Negan, and this was missing from a lot of last season. It would just felt like they were arbitrarily deciding these people want everybody to die and these people want to save everybody. And this was some really masterful writing, this exchange between Maggie and Michonne, where Maggie persuades Michonne to let her go in and talk to Negan at least. And Michonne knows what's Maggie's really going to want to do in there. And that Maggie really brings it. I thought Lauren Cohen really brought it. Talk about all of the reasons why she really wants to kill Negan. And we know academically what those are. We've known that for a long time, but they're not well articulated on the show most of the time. And I thought this was some really great writing that dug deep into the backstory of the character and back into the mythology of the show in some really beautiful ways. And then this conversation with Negan, I'm still not sure where I land on this. I don't know what exactly happened here, and I was hoping you could help me talk through it if you've calmed down.
Yes.
A little bit.
Okay. Jess. All right. Okay, so I actually want to start with Michonne. When she gives the key to Maggie, does Michonne know that once she gets down there and once she sees what a disaster Negan is, does she have the foresight to know that Maggie will not be able to go through with this once she sees how feeble Negan has become?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know that she does know that. I think.
Because I thought she gave her the key kind of quickly.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in her head as one of the possible outcomes. I don't think anything is a given when she gives her that key. I'm not sure she knows if Maggie's going to come out of there covered in Negan's blood or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think she strongly suspects that Maggie will not be able to go through with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Negan starts off pretty good, you know, that he is doing a good job of making Maggie upset. But I feel like that he sort of loses the thread a little bit here.
Well, I had two things I wanted to highlight here with this exchange. The first thing is, this is our first really good look. This is the first time he does step out into the light after being begged to for most of this scene. And this is the first really good glimpse we get of post-Savior War Negan. Mm-hmm. And there's a tremendous physical transformation here. I was so impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it barely looks like the same guy. I was like, for a brief second, I was thinking, did they recast Negan?
Mm.
Because he looks so different and he just looks so broken and so changed by everything that has happened to him. And then he's having this conversation where he is begging Maggie to kill him. And now in my head, I'm thinking, is that what he really wants? Or is he playing fourth dimensional chess with her? Is he begging her to kill him and playing up this feeble, locked away guy so that she won't be able to go through with it? Is he banking on her not being able to kill him?
Mm-hmm. No, he wants to die.
He wants to die.
Yeah, I think he wants to be put out of his misery. I think that because he, I think, correctly realizes that, you know, one, this is terrible, you know, that he is in this weakened state. He doesn't want to do this anymore. I do think I take him at face value that he wants to be with his wife, especially, you know, we had all of this stuff going on where the message of the episode was sort of like, you know, when you die, you get to go be with all of your loved ones. And I think that we saw that all these different loved ones, fever dream or not, end up interacting with Rick. And I think that's where Negan ultimately would like to be. And then also, I think he realizes that if he dies, he will be a martyr for his cause. And so in death, he will have some power that he has lost, you know, rotting away in this cell.
Well, that's a good point. That had occurred to me. That if you strike him down, he will rise up more powerful than before.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that he did. I think he did want to die. I mean, we saw him, you know, bash his head into the wall when nobody else was there recently. And we said, what is Negan doing? But, you know, he's trying to kill himself, but he can't go through with it.
Yeah, I mean, unless he's really committing to the bit, but that's probably true. The fact that he was bashing his head into the wall with nobody else there, that is a pretty strong indicator that he really does want to die.
Okay, Jess, what do you think about this? Standalone movie, what has it been like for Negan in the cell all this time?
Well, I'm going to need to see the bloodstained volleyball that he talks to.
Yeah. Think about it. You know, that we could explore all this time. Negan was in jail. What was he doing? Did he do push-ups? Did he work out? Was he in a bad mood?
Is this going to be in black and white with subtitles and voiceover?
Yeah.
This sounds very avant-garde.
Yeah. You're right. That was well done in this episode. The Maggie and Negan stuff. Rick, along the way, you know, that... Yeah, I did feel like that it was, pretty drawn out, this being chased by the zombie herd and the horse that was, so well trained. The horse did not go too fast. Rick Grimes couldn't have held on. The horse really did feel bad about what happened last week.
Yeah. That was a remorseful horse.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Cabin Douche on Twitter was referring to it as plot horse.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. I adopted it for myself. So Plot Horse was really the MVP of the episode, if you ask me.
Okay. Jess, why was there so much dynamite on the bridge?
That was weird. I don't know why you just have dynamite lying around.
Why was Art's dynamite on the bridge?
That I couldn't tell you. I think it was there. I think maybe Plot Horse put it there earlier, thinking that they might need to come back for it later?
I mean, you would think that one sticks of dynamite would be, you know, a very rare commodity in the Walking Dead universe. Two, you would think that probably the last place you would want to keep all of your sticks of dynamite would be on the big infrastructure project that you've been working on for quite some time.
Yeah, and there's not even a good way to explain that away. Like, they're building a road and they need to like blast away the side of a mountain to make the road flatter or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Dynamite, I could fan wank away by suggesting that maybe Eugene, after he perfected making bullets, he moved on and learned how to make dynamite.
Maybe, but maybe the saviors were going to blow up the bridge anyway, and that they were.
Yeah.
Maybe that was sort of like a plan that maybe one of the savior douches was planning on doing, but they just never got around to wiring it up.
Yeah, that sounds more likely that maybe there's a deleted scene in which the saviors are about to blow
Jed.
Up the bridge.
Yeah, because honestly, we never got the other side of that that big conflict where, remember when Carol was fighting a bunch of saviors last week and then we cut away and heard a gunshot and then we never saw what happened after that?
Yeah, we never resolved that, and I guess we're not going to now because it's 5 years later.
Yeah, Carol's alive. Who knows what else happened?
Carol grew her hair out. She looks good.
Scott Gimple's like, oh, wait, that could be a movie. Hold on a second. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what did happen that day? That's good. He's got like a wall full of post-its of different things.
He's got a mood board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Enid's roller skates. Whatever happened to them? It's a good movie.
Yeah, see, I want a Red Machete exploration of Enid's roller skates.
Yeah, because, oh, well, you know what? Actually, now that you mention it, because Red Machete and Passenger 47 on an airplane,
Flying
The Flying Dead, both of those were riveting. So, you know, the more that we can expand out the universe, I think it's been well proven that there is just a unlimited, you know, wealth of ideas to explore here.
Yeah, well, you know, Flying Dead was okay if you didn't watch it in 30-second snippets between the show you were actually trying to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you went online and watched it all at once, like all 8 minutes of it, it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
But I don't know if I need to see a whole movie about it.
Jess, you know, I would be remiss to say that you are going to be doing another Walking Dead podcast with our mutual friend Josh Wiggler this week. I had forgotten to even mention. I was so worked up about the expanded Walking Dead movie universe that I forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah, Rob. We thought that the departure of Rick Grimes was prime time to resurrect the Walking Dead book club.
Yeah. So I'm sure that there will be plenty to talk about. So look for that early this week. And then next week, we're not ending the show. I'm just talking about what's going on. That next week, Jess is going to be traveling and Josh Wiggler and I will be back together. So I will talk things through with Josh myself coming up on next week's episode. And speaking of next week's episode, Jess, that we got teased with some new characters at the end of the episode. After the helicopter flew off, Space Junk was playing. And so we ended up seeing some new characters fighting walkers. Did you know who these characters were supposed to be?
Yes, Rob. We have to really go to the comic book zone to talk about this in any kind of detail. But
you knew who they were.
I did know who they were. They are characters that show up a little bit earlier in the comics. Basically, there's only one time jump in the comics, and the group that is your entry point into the new world post time jump is this band of characters.
Okay. All right. So we got to see these characters and they're fighting walkers. Nothing that we haven't really seen before, but they, you know, they have some interesting looks. And then we see they are saved when somebody shoots a gun and we see this young woman put on a hat and she says, "My name is Judith Grimes." And now we realize that the Walking Dead has time jumped again.
I kind of love that. I'm not going to lie. I'm here for time jumps. I think as long as you're not cutting everybody off in the middle of a story and then coming back and not explaining anything that happened at the end of that story, I think a good time jump is might be exactly what this show needs. I think we had whole seasons that spanned like 3 days or something. And I think we need to fast forward through. We need to yada yada through a lot of stuff and get to a new conflict.
Now, this is, I think, very interesting, very exciting that now we get to see a 7-year-old, 8-year-old Judith Grimes.
Yeah, she looks like she's about 8. Looks like we've maybe fast forwarded through 4 to 5 years.
Yep. And she appears to be a regular badass where she is, you know, shooting walkers. She's wearing the hat. She is, everything that, her brother or her father would have loved for her to be.
Yeah, I'm here for tiny badass Judith.
Yeah. Not so little badass or little ass kicker anymore. So here she is. And we got this, stay tuned for scenes from the next 3 episodes of The Walking Dead. And so we got to see a little bit from this universe. So what can we impart from this 3-piece trailer for the rest of the season?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that we met the new antagonists, and this is a well-known arc from the comics, and it's one that I think listeners to the Comic Book Zone know my feelings on it, but we don't need to hash those out right now. But there was a pretty big clue as to what's coming up, and I want to know if you caught this.
I did not.
There's a bunch of walkers walking by the screen. And you hear one of the walkers say in walker voice, "Where are they?"
Oh, I mean, that was in the trailer. The season trailers. Yeah. So we did talk about that.
Yeah, we did talk about that. So that's the new hotness in the antagonist department. It could be interesting. I'm going to be patient and see how it unfolds. I was legit kind of hyped up to see it. And I don't even like this arc. And I was kind of excited to see it come to life on the screen. So this is going to be good.
Okay.
I think. I'm looking forward to seeing how they render it. And I'm going to keep an open mind about some of the logistics.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see it, too. I don't want everybody to say like, "Oh, you're a real negative Negan about everything." And that's not the case. That's not the case. I just want to see everybody focus on trying to make this show as good as possible and not spread ourselves too thin.
I think that's fair. That's entirely fair. I mean, I guess I'm just glad that they're not spinning off Andrew Lincoln into yet another series.
Right. Well, I mean, that would be the ultimate worst case scenario. Like, we've got a new, a new Walking Dead friend. You know, it's too much. I just think that this was the way that they hyped it and the way that they promoted it. It left a bad taste in my mouth.
I agree. The promotion was handled badly, and I wish that I understood kind of why they were hyping up the last 2 episodes of Rick Grimes. And I understand it even more now that I know what they were building up to, but I kind of wish that they'd let us be blindsided by it.
Instead, we got blindsided by the movie news.
Yeah. Wow. I've never heard you this worked up about anything ever. And I've been podcasting with you for a very long time.
Well, you don't watch the Big Brother podcast, but I hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're enjoying it.
Just enjoy my life without the Big Brother podcast.
Yeah. Just then, Carol has very long hair also in the future.
She looks great. I'm glad she's finally letting her
hair down. Got a cool look now.
Yeah, I like that people get cool new looks. It looks like Michonne's got a little bit of a different look too.
Yeah, so we'll see. We will see what the new beginnings look like coming up on next week's episode. And, I'm excited to see what they do. Jess, I asked people to send us their questions on Twitter. And we have a lot of questions from the listeners. Do you want to jump into some of these questions from our listeners?
Wow, I clicked over to Twitter just now. I have 57 new notifications, so yeah I guess so.
Well, I think people are maybe not the same way that I am amped up, but I think people wanted to talk about. This is from Rachel's Win BB20 wants to know, did Rick pretty much get medevaced from the game in this episode? Yeah, basically.
It sounds like it. I did think it's interesting to note that he gets wounded by the rebar in the same place where he gets shot in the first episode.
Oh, that's interesting. I do think there were a lot of cool things like that and a lot of echoes of that first season and Rick on the horse riding into Atlanta and talking to Shane. And so that I really did like the way that they handled most of the, you know, Rick Grimes quote unquote death episode. It's just like that when they played with your emotions in a negative way, I felt like, where then they pulled the rug out from under you. It's like, ha ha, we got you. Rick's not dead.
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty cheap. But I do think that the send off that he got, if we just pretend the movies are not happening, the send off's pretty good. And I especially loved Shane, like being Shane and kind of being a jerk, and then needling him about Judith not being his was pretty great. And then also referencing Rick biting the throat of the claimer and also murdering all the Terminus people in the church. It was nice to kind of feel like we're getting a little bit of a retrospective there.
Yeah, I like that. Now, Shane said some things that I was a little confused about where Shane was going with it, that he was talking about how you know, he wants to take credit. And they talked about that. But Shane was saying it has to be him. I didn't understand what he was talking about there.
He was talking about Rick's perpetual need to be the leader of every situation.
Okay.
And I think Rick saying it has to be me. Rick's like, I stepped in. I had to lead everybody. This is who I am. This is how I work. And Shane's like, nah, the world's going to go on without you. And, you know, you're moving on to the next plane of existence and they're going to rebuild and things are going to keep happening. And I think the message, you get that message from all three of these interactions, actually, that the new beginning is happening. It's not like things aren't going to go completely to hell without Rick Grimes.
Mm-hmm. Jess, there was a question about, if you have one, take it.
Okay. My favorite one comes from RLIIIAS on Twitter.
Okay.
He asks, does Jadis get her wish and gets to paint Rick in exchange for saving his life?
Well, are you an A or a B garbage copter storyline? Is that's going to be explored in the movies?
I guess they decided we still care about this.
Yes. If anybody is a regular, I know there's probably going to be people like a lot of drive by traffic for this because people are going to want to hear a podcast about Rick Grimes. I'm so sorry to most of you. But
you're not sorry to some of us.
Yeah, look, if people enjoyed this, but the rant I was doing on last week's podcast was who cares about A or a B? Meanwhile, Scott Gimple is like, well, call this movie A or B. A Walking Dead standalone film, part one. Yeah. Starring Jadis and Rick.
Well, I think
A is for Anne. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
We've always known that Scott Gimple is the only person that cares this deeply about the garbage people.
Right. Oh, boy. Look, if you could work some of the Fear the Walking Dead characters into it, maybe I'd be into it. If Rick finds Morgan.
Wait. What if we get Travis and or Madison?
Okay. Well, Madison, I think that'd be tough to get. Maybe Madison got rescued by the garbage copter.
We never saw Madison die.
So who knows? But look, if you want to get me a little more on board with this Walking Dead movie, Scott Gimple, get Wendell and Sarah from Fear the Walking Dead in the movie.
Yeah, but then we have to write them out of Fear the Walking Dead, and what reason would there be to watch that anymore?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not sure how long Fear the Walking Dead is going either, Jess, to be, you know, I'm a realist.
Well, maybe they'll fold Sarah and Wendell into Walking Dead prom.
Okay. Or they should get their own movie. I would watch that movie.
Okay, yeah, I'd watch that movie too.
Okay. Then we got a question. Out of the next three episodes, in what episode will we see the Whisperers? That's from Bix3117. You think we're going to get that right away?
No, I don't think we get it right away. I think we get at least one world-building welcome back episode next week. And the week after that, we might get the Whisperers at the end of the episode.
Okay. Just I'm very excited to say that we have some tweets from the great Survivor Davey.
Yay.
Okay. So Survivor Davey has a couple questions for us, Jess. Okay. So a big shout out to Davey Rickenbacker. Hopefully he checks out the actual podcast and isn't just waiting for a response on Twitter. But
I've heard that he's a listener.
Oh, good. That I know he's a big Walking Dead fan. He said Rick Grimes is his hero in his Survivor bio. So,
and he has also cosplayed as King Ezekiel.
Oh, I would like to see that. So Davey asked, spoiler question, is it possible that the helicopter that saves Rick in the end could have been the one he saw in season one? Now, where did he see the helicopter in season one? Was that on the way into Atlanta?
I think so. I'm trying to think back that far. But we sure were meant to think about season one a lot this episode.
Yes.
Like with the space junk and with seeing Shane and with all of the imagery that is identical right down to the camera angle to Rick yelling at his comatose self in his dreams.
A lot of a-hole talk also.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a swear that you're allowed to use in the 9 o'clock hour.
Are you an a-hole or a b-hole? Well, that's good. Ooh. Put that in the movie. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me taking notes.
Yeah.
A-holes.
Cabin Douche wants to know, will Jadis lying about Rick being a bee come into the standalone films? I mean, what was it like? Yeah, you know, actually, I thought this guy was an A. Turns out he's a bee. Copy.
So when they pick him up in the helicopter,
my bad.
Gonna, like, run him through all these tests, like in the Divergent movies.
Yes, yeah. Like, what? He's an A. You said he was a B, Jadis.
No, he's so special. We had to create a new category for him. He's a C.
C. What? There's never been a C in 1,000 years.
Oh, he's the one that will save us all. Man, this movie writes itself, Rob.
We're going to get picked up for a fourth movie.
Oh.
Okay.
Call us.
Yeah. All right. Jimmy G says, who did everybody see in the dead body pile? I saw Beth. Was Beth in the dead body pile?
I saw Beth. I saw Jesus in the dead body pile.
Okay. So if Beth was in the dead body pile, does that mean the actress who played Beth came in to shoot a day of working on the pile?
No. No, you did not see her face, but it was clearly meant to be Beth. It had
meant
her
to
ponytail.
Be. Okay. Yeah.
And it had her like... Remember the episode where she and Daryl are trapped in the golf club and she puts on the golf clothes? That's what she's wearing.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know really what the dead body pile was supposed to be.
I know what the dead body pile was supposed to be.
Yes. What was it?
Because it was fan service. It's a direct shot from one of the alternate covers of issue 100 of the comics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we got to see Sasha standing on top of the dead body pile.
Well, CGI'd onto the top of the dead body pile.
Yeah.
I mean, she's on a Star Trek series, so she's no stranger to bad CGI. Wow, that was bad.
Beamed in there. Richard wants to know, how did Rick get anywhere near to where Jadis was? Did he float downstream? And we had a couple tweets about this, like the physics of Rick being blown off the bridge.
Yeah, that was a little bit.
Michael Burnham knows about being on the bridge also.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a little bit, that kind of beggared belief. It seemed like he got blown to the exact right spot that he needed to be. And I don't know that I love that. But it's like Jadis was just waiting there on the beach like she knew he was going to come along. And there's also this whole thing, like, we didn't talk too much about this, understandably, because I know you're still salty about it. But we didn't talk a lot about Jadis' conversation with the people in the garbage copter, where she tells them she has an A and there is no A. You know that she let Father Gabriel go. And you know that she's looking for something, like, how does she know she's going to come up with an A by the time the garbage copter gets there?
Well, I don't, who knows what Jadis was doing? And, you know, why did she say that, like, I thought, like, would they kill him if he was an A, but they would help him if he was a B? And I'm sorry, this time it's not a trick.
Yeah, it sounds like she's tried to pull one over on the garbage copter before and they were not having it.
Trust me, guys, this is not a trick. I'm throwing my gun in the river. I just, you have to help my friend, please. Please help me.
Nice try, Jadis. We've voted for that one before.
No, no, guys. No, come on. I'm just look. I promise. No more tricks. I promise.
That's what you said last time.
Okay. I don't know who had this question. I saw this on Twitter. How come nobody else saw the helicopter?
That was weird.
Is it like a Wonder Woman-esque invisible copter?
It's weird that the helicopter is not the only thing that these people are talking about.
Guys, put the cloaking device on because there's a lot of people over here. Trust me.
Yeah, the helicopter has flown over their camp. And there's like people from all the communities staying at that camp. They should have been talking about this all season. Like they would have heard it for one thing, because there's no other noise out there.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's weird to me that the helicopter only shows up if you really, really believe in it.
Only if you believe in the helicopter. It's the Emperor's new helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Brigadoon of helicopters.
Yes. Cabin Douche wants to know, will Plot Horse make an appearance in the Rick Grimes movies?
Well, how big was that helicopter? And where did Plot Horse go?
It went to wherever the AB camp is.
I guess. So did, like, Plot Horse didn't get in the helicopter. He wasn't there, like, when Rick washed downstream. Did he get eaten? Because I demand justice for Plot Horse if that's the case.
Yeah. All right. Jess, do you want to talk about comic book stuff here, or are you going to save it for your comic book podcast with Josh Wiggler?
Well, we have sprinkled comic book information throughout this podcast, and I know that the listeners don't love it when we do that. So okay. I think we've been to the comic book zone and back a couple of times over the course of this podcast, and I don't think we necessarily need to have a special zone for it. If you want to play the song, I'm always here for the song, but okay. We can probably save the deep dive for my podcast.
Oh, I'll give you guys the song for your podcast tomorrow with Josh Wiggler.
Okay.
No, I don't even know if you guys are recording it tomorrow. I said tomorrow.
Yeah, it's always tomorrow somewhere, Rob.
Tomorrow-ish. Okay. All right, Jess, what else? Anything else from this episode tonight?
I think we have covered so many of the bases, and you have so many feelings.
Yes, please, Jess. Yes.
I feel like I'm so happy that you've found a good outlet for your feelings. I'm happy that I can be here for you in this time.
Mm-hmm. Kim, please just give the negative feedback to me now so people don't feel compelled to give it to me on social media.
I think people are going to be on Team Rob on this one. I really do. I think this is such a gut punch news-wise that a lot of people are going to be stunned and angry. And I think you're not going to get a lot of people being like, what are you talking about, Rob? You're terrible. Your takes are trash. I think you're going to be okay. People are going to agree with you on this one. Even if they don't agree, I think you have a well-reasoned defense of your viewpoint.
Yeah. I just think it's such a weak move where it's like the show wants to have it both ways. They want to kill characters off, but then they want to say, oh, no, just kidding. Don't worry. Don't worry. Your favorites aren't, like, even the way that the Talking Dead handles it when somebody dies of like, oh, we're going to be okay. Don't worry. It's not a real person. It's just a TV show about zombies. People can die. It's okay.
Yeah, and if they're dying on a TV show about zombies, there's a good chance they're going to come back anyway.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Jess, wonderful job tonight. Thank you for being professional and keeping this show somewhat on the tracks.
I did my best.
Yes, you did a wonderful job. You could follow Jessica on social media. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at PineappleBoy27. So if you want to tweet me at PineappleBoy27 on Twitter.
Boy with a B-O-I?
No, B-O-Y, at PineappleBoy27. So please direct all your negative feedback to me on my social media handle, at PineappleBoy27, no underscore. Jess, I also talked about the season 6 premiere of House of Cards today with my good friend Zach Brooks, and we talked about what is going on there. Obviously, very newsworthy that Kevin Spacey out on House of Cards. Robin Wright is now the main character on the show. I had a lot of thoughts on that too, Jess.
Well, If her star turn in The Princess Bride is any indication, she was born to rule.
Yeah. So had a lot of thoughts about that. So we will be covering all of season 6, only 8 episodes on House of Cards. So be on the lookout for that. Plus Jess and Josh Wiggler talking about the Walking Dead comic books. I also posted season 5, episode 9 rewatch from Game of Thrones with Josh Wiggler. So we will have that for you up in the feed as of right now. And then we'll get back into the season 5 finale coming up next week on Post Show Recaps, postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Looking forward to reading what you guys have to say in the comments. Hopefully. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.